Welcome back. It's a Wednesday, the 26th day of June, 2019. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And today we have one of the biggest stories, literally, in a long, long time, which should have, but really hasn't, hit the waste stream yet. But I'm going to work up to it this way. Let's talk first about a whole bunch of stuff that we've heard before. We're hearing it again, well, unless we get our news from the waste stream, for the most part. So here we go. NSA has again been exposed, who could have thought it, for unauthorized collection of American phone records. And gee, once upon a time we'd have said that was what the Fourth Amendment was for, but that was before they trashed the whole stinking Bill of Rights. Yet again, says the Zero Hedge summary, the NSA, no such agency? Well, they've admitted it. Now they do exist. The National Security SIC agency has been exposed for accidentally over-collecting call record metadata of millions of Americans. This according to a Wall Street Journal report relying on documents obtained by, of all things, the ACLU. They've done it before. They're keeping on doing it. And yeah, they've been caught doing it again. Here's the interesting line in this piece. The House Judiciary Committee. Oh, that would be the House. And not particularly interested in anything judiciary. But they've now started weighing which of the expiring provisions of the utterly unconstitutional Patriot Act are still going to be renewed anyway. And according to several so-called lawmakers, the phone surveillance program likely won't be reauthorized. And I got to ask, what difference does that make, since it's already prohibited by law anyway? Well, said Senator Ron Wyden, longtime critic of the program, one of the few who actually seems to understand what a warrant really is, or once was anyway, quote, every new incident like this that becomes public, yeah, most of them don't, is another reason this massive surveillance program needs to be permanently scrapped, he said. So far, so good. But, he continued, it is unacceptable that basic information about the program is still being withheld from the public, unquote. And yeah, it's also unacceptable that the Fourth Amendment is a dead letter. So what's new here? Yeah, we've heard it before. We're going to keep on hearing it. And the news is, they got caught. Again, item number two, more revised data from the liars at NASA and NOAA. The piece from RealClimateScience.com, the deplorable climate science blog, calls it yet another round of spectacular data tampering. What they do, folks, is they go back and review and modify the data series, cooling the past and warming the present to make it look like there's more man-made global warming than there ever really was. And they do a great job of showing in chart after chart, like the NASA GISS Global Land Service Temperature Anomaly, how the past just keeps getting cooler, although it hasn't really changed, come to think of it, and the present just keeps getting warmer, and the amount of both keeps growing as well each time they modify the data series. Gee, folks, almost like somebody has an agenda. The author does yeoman's work collecting historical data and lots of headlines from the last century about how the world is getting cooler and showing that prior to the 1990s anyway, when the IPCC, the International Politically Correct Climate Priesthood, decided to make global carbon taxes their control and revenue source for the future, the same actual original data didn't support the hysteria. Concludes the author, Tony Heller, this data tampering was necessary for propaganda purposes, who could have thought it, and serves as the basis for the ongoing attempt to destroy our existing energy infrastructure. And he notes that experts claim that all warming over the past 140 years is due to humans, which is largely true, though, because the vast majority of it is due to data tampering by humans. That's not the news, of course. The news is, again, they've been caught. And for the most part, again, the waste stream will ignore it. Item number three, and I hope you're sitting down for this one. Merrill Lynch, the banksters there, have been caught criminally manipulating precious metals market prices, quote, thousands of times over a six-year period. Remember, says the Zero Hedge summary, when it was pure tinfoil hat conspiracy theory to accuse one or more of the big banksters of aggressively, compulsively, and systematically manipulating the precious metals, i.e. gold and silver, paper markets? Well, we do. We've made the claim over and over while demonstrating clearly just how said manipulation was taking place, often in real time. Well, they say it's good to be proven correct, again, even if it's years after the fact. on Tuesday after the market closed, the CFTC announced that Merrill Lynch Commodities, a global commodities trading business, has agreed to pay the staggering sum of $25 million, yep, no afternoon drinks today, to resolve the government's investigation, sick, into a multi-year scheme by MLCI Precious Metals Traders, sick, to mislead the market for precious metals futures contracts traded on the Crimex-Comex crooked casino. And too bad they note that we're talking about a corporation here rather than an individual, because that person would have done the old perp walk. But as MLCI themselves admitted, beginning in 2008 and continuing through, I'm going to say at least 2014, but that's as far as they looked, precious metals traders employed by MLCI schemed to deceive other market participants by injecting materially false and misleading information into the precious metals futures market. Doing things like placing fraudulent orders for precious metals futures contracts that at the same time they place the orders they already intended to cancel before they could be executed. And of course, they note, since we're talking about banksters, and since banks are in charge of not only the Department of Justice and virtually every other branch of the deep state big brother government, not to mention the Federal Reserve, nobody will go to jail, and MLCI entered into a non-prosecution agreement and agreed to pay a combined and utterly measly fine of $25 million in criminal fines, restitution, and forfeiture of trading profits. Well, at least a tiny, tiny, tiny fraction of some of them. What's the news here? Well, they got caught again, and they got away with it again. And so yet again, folks, we've heard it before, or at least we should have. They've been caught, and the common thread here is not to fix the problem by doing things like reporting with integrity and obeying the actual law. It's to double down, lie even more, and make sure that nobody even gets to talk about when they get caught. Which brings me to the really big story of the day, and arguably, in this context now, the decade. Concerning the world's most powerful company, and without question, although it's a tough choice, they have risen to the top. Most evil corporation on planet Earth, Google, or as I prefer to call it, and we're going to see again why, Gulag. And here I'm going to refer to one of the most important video reports, folks, that you'll ever see. So look at it while you can, because guess what? YouTube, owned by Google, is trying to make sure you're not going to be allowed to see it. Yeah, they've already scrubbed it off of that platform. Gee, there's a shocker. And no doubt Google's already manipulating their AI search algorithms, too, to deep six it that way. So use a real search tool, like startpage.com or DuckDuckGo, to find it instead. Oh, and let's make this clear. I'll come back to it in a second. You're not likely to hear about this on the waste stream at all. I'm referring, of course, to Project Veritas, James O'Keefe's organization, and if there's anybody that ever deserved a Pulitzer Prize outside of Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, it's his organization. And this latest utter bombshell, or it ought to be, is an approximately 25-minute video from Project Veritas under the Be Brave, Do Something heading about how a Google insider is blowing the whistle, and they have hidden camera interviews with Google executives to buttress the point, to prevent a repeat of what they actually call the Trump situation in the next election cycle. And forget the Russians, folks, although most Americans already have, and so-called election rigging. Google is the master at it, and they've been working hard to make sure that by 2020, just like they succeeded in doing in the midterms in 2018, they're not going to let happen again what the deplorables managed to do by force of numbers in 2016. Here's one of many quotes from Jen Janai, head of, quote, responsible innovation. Yeah, sure, there's a misnomer for you, at Gulag, who said they've been, quote, working on it since 2016 to make sure we're ready for 2020. And what's it, folks? Yeah, they call it fairness, and that means, in fairness, you're not going to be allowed to hear anything they don't want you to hear, meaning they intend to rig subsequent elections fairly. By definition, it'll turn out the way they want it to. Here's the Google whistleblower, with his voice disguised, of course, describing Gulag's politically correct definition of the word.
Fairness is a dog whistle. It does not mean what you think that it means, and you have to apply doublethink in order to understand what they're really saying. And what they're really saying about fairness is that they have to manipulate their search results so that it gives them their political agenda that they want. And so they have to rebias their algorithms so that they can get their agenda across.
And their agenda is not only insidious, but it demonstrates pretty dramatically just how badly Sundar Pichai was lying when he testified before Congress and committed perjury over and over again. Jen Janai, that so-called head of responsible innovation, boy, I just can't stand reading that, at Gulag, put it this way, "We got called in front of Congress multiple times. Like, they can pressure us, but we're not changing." Unquote. And who are they kidding, folks? When it comes to free speech, Congress isn't pressuring Gulag in the slightest. Unless, as she seems to have been, you're referring to posturing. That same evil woman continued, quote, "Elizabeth Warren is saying that we should break up Google. And like, I love her, but she's very misguided. Like, that will not make it better. It will make it worse. Because now all these smaller companies who don't have the same resources that we do will be charged with, are you listening closely, with preventing the next Trump situation. It's like a small company cannot do that." Unquote. Yeah, folks, you have to have a big enough, evil enough company to own Congress and rewrite the law in its own image. It's like we, like Gulag, need to program you like we do our AI manipulation algorithms. It's like you peons aren't going to be allowed to think or have any information until we decide what you think and what you're going to be allowed to see. Like, you know? Speaking of which, much of the increasingly banned alternative news parts of the web notes that it's not just Fox News, which, with the notable exception of Tucker Carlson, has been pretty much ignoring the Project Veritas Google bombshell report. Virtually the entire Waystream corporate media, says Jamie White at the blacklisted InfoWars, has also blacklisted this story, even when it was red-linked on the Drudge Report and addressed by multiple members of Congress. The likewise blacklisted site Natural News via J.D. Hayes writes that the Russian collusion hoax is a classic example of what we're talking about. For 2 years, the Washington establishment media served as the Democrat Party's propaganda wing, parroting the lie that the president colluded with Moscow to steal the election from the woman who should have been king, Hitlery. And they also promoted the fantasy that special counsel Robert Mueller was always just a few weeks away from exposing our criminal president. But when real scandal happens, all we get from the lamestream losers, he notes, is silence, especially if the scandal involves big, far-left ideological soulmates like Gulag. The Project Veritas bombshell revelations this week about how Gulag has been working since 2016 to censor pro-Trump voices and content in order to prevent his re-election at all costs. And I would also suggest, folks, let's not forget the 2018 midterms. Well, that would have been front page, top of the fold news in the New York Times, the WAPO, USA Today, LA Times, and so forth and so on. All the big Democrat-aligned news websites and cable TV networks for weeks on end. If only that big tech behemoth was run by genuine conservatives who donate to Republicans instead of socialists. But since Gulag, like almost all of the rest of the Silicon Valley tech giants, are owned and operated by true Marxists and fascists, the allied so-called mainstream press has just ignored the allegations. That means that the same press that screamed collusion and obstruction for years on end is now colluding with Gulag to suppress what honest legal experts are calling real election meddling. Gee, folks, too bad we don't have a federal election commission to ferret out crimes like that. And here's one of the other comments that I haven't even quoted yet from Janai that would have been printed over and over again in the left-stream newspapers had this same statement been directed at a Democrat president. Quote, "We all got screwed over in 2016. Again, it wasn't just us. It was the people got screwed over. The news media got screwed over. Like, everybody got screwed over. So we're rapidly been like, what's happened here and how do we prevent it from happening again?" Unquote. And then she went on to admit, get this, folks, "We're also training our algorithms. Like, if 2016 happened again, would the outcome be different?" Unquote. And if this evil corporation is allowed to continue doing what they've been doing, folks, you can damn well guarantee next time it will be. And as 2018 proved, yep, they got away with it then. Says Natural News, and again, they ought to know, All of this is shorthand for, we're training our AI algorithms to blot out anything that's Trump-friendly in the media or press because we don't want him or the like to ever win again. And yes, this is pure, unadulterated election fraud. And if we had a federal election commission, you'd think they'd be all over this like stink on, well, the San Francisco streets on an unprecedented scale. But the swamp won't drain itself, and swamp critters don't think it stinks there either. Which brings me next to another related comment that Fox's Tucker Carlson did bring out last night from an interview he did with Dr. Robert Epstein, the senior research psychologist at the American Institute for Behavioral Research and Technology, probably the world's foremost expert on the technology company's influence on society. Asked about the latest bombshell from Project Veritas about what Gulag is up to, he said,
I'm not surprised in the least. It confirms in glowing terms, or in very ugly terms, if you want to look at it that way, that Google not only has the power to shift opinions and votes on a massive scale, but that they exercise this power. And this is what I measure in my research. So I can tell you fairly precisely how many votes they can shift. I can tell you fairly precisely how many votes they shifted in 2018.
And at this point, a quick digression for some of the numbers. According to Statista, Google owns the global, not just the U.S. search market. And as of April, they commanded an 88.5% share of the entire search engine market, while the next closest, and also left-leaning engine Bing, clocked in at a mere 4.8%, while the distant third place, also left-leaning Yahoo, once the original online search engine, gets just over 3% of the total market. And that kind of tells you where Startpage and DuckDuckGo and the honest engines are that actually keep your data private, too, way down the list. In a previous appearance with Tucker Carlson, Dr. Epstein had already revealed that Google can take a 50-50 split among undecided voters and change it rapidly into a 90-10 split, with no one knowing they'd been manipulated and without leaving a paper trail. And it all has to do with search suggestions and manipulating those algorithms. In the Project Veritas video, the whistleblower goes through the interview showing a number of examples, including what happens if you search for anything negative about Hitlery. Basically, whatever you ask for, you get primarily left-leaning results, if you get anything at all. And as for the specifics, doing the math, he said,
They can shift upwards of 15 million votes with no one knowing that they've been manipulated and without leaving a paper trail for authorities to trace.
And guess what, folks? If you can manipulate the actual vote totals, too, by getting into the machines and messing with the what should be integer math, but instead it's floating point, next time they'll even be able to cover up for a Trump-scale landslide. Besides which, if you do find out about it, how are you going to report it, and who's going to search for it? So let me say all of this again. Yes, we've heard it before. Gulag to Facebook and all the other socialist media giants are, in fact, far left-leaning, utterly without a conscience, and very much intent on running their own technocracy. And obviously that includes shutting down any and all dissent. But it's one thing to hear folks like me and you and others who know what's going on talk about it, and a whole different thing to see those who are perpetrating it come right out and tell you, in their own Clintonian words, exactly what they're up to. You really owe it to yourself to see the video. And yes, if you can, download it and save it before it's completely deep-sixed off the web. Again, it's projectveritas.com. And it's on their page under Google Exposed, Insider Speaks Out, Documents Leaked. And the video is entitled Insider Blows Whistle and Execs Reveal Google Plan to Prevent Trump Situation in 2020 via their hidden cam. And by the way, the president did actually finally speak with Maria Bartiromo and tell her point blank they're, quote, trying to rig the election. And as he pointed out pretty graphically, what we're talking about here is not leaning left. This is actual, in his words, hatred for the Republicans. And he hopes that there'll be civil suits, hopefully among other things, to take these traitors to task. So I'll say it one more time. What's new here isn't the intent, it's the exposure, in spite of the cover-up, and the fact that there's no longer any denying that the war has already begun. Oh, and as we move on, one last headline, courtesy of the Gateway Pundit. Google execs panic, it says, and go into hiding. And after the latest James O'Keefe expose, many of them, including Jen Janai, have now deleted their socialist media accounts. From there, on we go to other news, less important news, and in the case of the one I'm going to do first, far less important, although it is kind of interesting. Former special counsel and unindicted criminal Robert Mueller has agreed to testify before an open House committee on July 17th, following issuance of a subpoena by some of the worst, including Democrat Jerry Nadler, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, and Adam Schiff for Brains, chairman of the House Intelligence SIC committee, who announced the news on Tuesday night. Now, this is funny, folks. Democrats, says Jim Hoff's piece at the Gateway Pundit, are hoping Mueller will give them the excuse to start impeachment proceedings. We don't need a reason. They just want to do it anyway against the president for non-collusion, and maybe they can take the spin back from the gulag manipulation. Oh, and the fact that the Obama regime spied on the president, and then the Obama deep state attempted a deep state coup. But here's the funny part. Leftist Geraldo Rivera joined Sean Hannity on Tuesday night to discuss the development, and he actually said that he believes Democrats will, quote, rue the day they ever decided to bring Mueller back to testify. And here's the whole quote, and it's pretty good. Asked Geraldo,
how is he going to answer the question, how dare you ruin the lives of people like General Michael Flynn? How dare you, when you knew that there was no collusion with the Russians, you stuck with this thing, you made these people work themselves into perjury traps, you slammed them with these procedural offenses, you wrecked their lives, you distracted the American people. I think that the price that this testimony will cost the Democrats will be grievous to them. They will rue the day that Nadler and Schiff let their ambition get ahead of their common sense, their political sense,
and drag this man back to the center stage of American politics, unquote, and may he be this time finally correct. On next to the market meltdown, still just barely getting underway, and a headline from Zero Hedge that really is a sign of the times for those that are paying attention. In an absurd fiasco, they say, the entire market spike this morning was all due to a grammatical mistake by the talking heads at CNBC. And now both the yuan and U.S. equities have erased the gains from this oops. Ah, you know what? Grammatical error. Now, here's the detail. As they reported earlier, the reason stocks surged is that just after 5 a.m. Eastern time, a CNBC headline came out in which U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said that the U.S.-China trade deal is, present tense in other words, 90% complete, a clear indication that the big deal with China is once again at least a possibility. Trouble is, that was a mistake. The algorithms bought in, gold dropped like a rock on the crooked casinos, well, we know how that happens. And then the truth came out. Instead of using the present tense, Mnuchin was actually using the past tense. And what he really said, for those who actually watched the video, is, get this, folks, we were about 90% of the way to the China trade deal. Oops. That doesn't quite give one the same impression now, does it? He did say there's a path to complete this, but it doesn't sound nearly so optimistic, does it? And maybe this is the best summary of the whole fiasco. Fake market jumps on fake news. How fitting. So I'll close with a headline that's also another sign of the times. Gasoline futures have soared this morning as the largest East Coast refinery is now set to permanently close after a massive fire that may or may not have been an accident caused substantial damage to the complex a couple of days back. Not only are hundreds of jobs going to be lost, but of course, look for sharply higher gasoline prices. Just don't look for the Federal Reserve or the Bureaus of Lying Statistics to actually come out and tell you to expect lots and lots of inflation. Well, at least between refinery and tanker accidents, not to mention some flooding in the Midwest, there'll be plenty of really good excuses come fall to help them shift the blame. So plan ahead, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.